Today's episode of the Outlap F1 podcast is brought to you by DB. DB is a Scandinavian brand that makes backpacks and bags to help people on the move stay ready for anything. From the streets to the peaks, DB's gear is travel tested by some of the world's best athletes, adventurers, and creators. Over the past decade, DB has designed and developed, released, and refined the best bags in the market. With DB's patented hookup system, you are able to attach smaller products to your backpack, roller, or tote. We are teaming up with DB to exclusively offer our listeners 10% off your next purchase by using the code POD10 or going to our link in the show notes. DB, it's time to move on, time to get going. This is the Outlap F1 Podcast featuring America's own John, James, Andy, and Deanna, your one-stop shop for Formula One news, insights, race previews, and reviews. Join us on the Outlap! Welcome to Season 3, Episode 35 of the Outlap F1 Podcast. We're actually back to F1 this week. It's our Belgium Grand Prix race preview. You've got Andy. I'm along with John and Deanna. James is unfortunately out tonight. It's a little bit stormy here in Chicago, so if you hear some thunderclaps going on in the background, I apologize in advance, but we are going to try to press on. We have all returned safely from our St. Louis excursion. Deanna and John, how are we doing this fine evening?
Deanna, go ahead.
All right. doing good. Made it home in one piece through the hurricane. I did lose my ID on the way, so there's always something. I learned that you can order duplicates, which I didn't know was a thing. So thank you, North Carolina DMV.
Nice. Yeah, been there before. Yeah, I had a fun ride home. It only took me 14 hours to get home, but... yeah, had a good time. It was we were joking with the formation lap guys after the race, and we were talking about the race, and I said it was well worth the drive, and I said ask me again after tomorrow night after my 14-hour return ride, and it still very much was worth it. It was a phenomenal weekend up there, but yeah, the body's still recovering a little bit from the drive. Not gonna lie. So.
Well, I was going to say I was still kind of recovering a little bit from all the standing around that we had to do on Saturday, but it was definitely fun standing around. Super shout out and super thanks to Luke and Tim over at Formation Lap at ESPN 101 in St. Louis. It was super fun getting to see their full operation on Sunday morning and doing a recording in studio with them. Felt like an actual radio person for about an hour there. So that was pretty fun. So go ahead and check their stuff out. You can hear what I had to say about the quick reaction to the IndyCar experience. That was the Bomarito 500. Before we get into anything else, just quick notes, a little bit about our show. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Discord, Reddit, and YouTube at Outlap F1 Podcast. Please see our link tree in our show notes for that. You can email our show at chatnow@outlapf1.com. You can peruse our beautiful website at www.outlapf1.com. On that, you can find our F1 for Beginners episode, which is Season 3, Episode 6. If you are new to the sport or new to racing in general, we give soup to nuts everything about the sport we love and love to talk about, Formula One. You can also find our Sabre Cook interviews, W Series driver who will be in action this weekend at Spa. That's Season 2, Episode 2, and Season 3, Episode 21. Please do also check out Relapped with Deanna. We're still on the Nashville race reaction.
With the damn birds.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for waiting for my new computer to come in. Okay. So we're getting close.
I can tell she's going to have good stuff from the Bomarito 500. She perfected the watch 'em zoom and... turn around move to try to get him into turn one. So maybe there's something there. I don't know what her phone got. Maybe my head got in the way. I don't know.
As old as Andy and I are, if we tried to do that quick spin around move, we'd probably like pop something or break something. So yeah, we're taking a little mini hiatus from YouTube since we cooked Deanna's computer. But she's got a fresh new one on the way. So we're looking forward to that powerhouse that's in the middle.
Destroying another one.
And we'll be back to video very soon. But yeah, it was pretty comical to see Indiana flipping around there like that.
not really usable footage because it was so far away, but I was having fun, so that's all that matters, I guess.
No, the best part was that you were making Luke do this like dive bomb move down next to us because he didn't want to get in the way of your shot.
You would think by like the fifth time he would have learned to move, but
I kept hoping I was going to get something into turn one and I missed every single thing that actually happened there.
As it goes. Well, you had to have your head on a swivel. I mean, that's how fast they were going. But anyway, we'll get it all into that in just a second. Just as a reminder, and we actually did recently get a second supporter to our show via our Anchor FM support page. So super thank you. John, do you have the detail on that? We will do a proper shout out probably Sunday to that individual on our race review. Also just check out our link in the show notes to that. We are also super grateful for everybody who wants to support our little endeavor here. Final reminder, please do check out our code OUTLAP at manscaped.com. Get the 20% off, get the free shipping. We are always thrilled to bring that to you. So before we actually get into the fun, we did have one kind of somber note that broke this morning. Anyone who's familiar with IndyCar or racing or Formula One in the U.S. has heard the name Robin Miller. We all knew he was very public about his battle with cancer for over the last 4 years. Unfortunately, Robin succumbed to that at the age of 71. I've read a lot of his stuff. I've heard him do commentary on various IndyCar, kart, you name it, whatever. He's kind of the American equivalent of, this is like Murray Walker passing. So if you're in Europe and you don't necessarily know who the name is, think that kind of beloved guy. Everybody in the IndyCar paddock was tweeting really, really good, condolences and signs of support. John, I thought you did a great job with our posting about the same thing. Robin Miller gone at the age of 71, probably a bit too soon.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's crazy. Like Robin's one of those guys that, especially in American motorsports, where I think back and I feel like he's pretty much been a part of my entire life, honestly. He's been around the sport since before I was born. I don't ever really remember a time when he wasn't there, dating all the way back to like when I started watching on Speed Network and things like that. And Robin was the kind of guy that he'd give it to you straight. And not everyone liked that at the moment. Everybody respected him, though, he would give it to you. Yeah, no sugarcoating. If he didn't like something, he would let you know about it. But then, he'd be the first one to praise you for it as well. But, I mean, yeah, just a legend in American motorsports, especially on the commentary side. He got himself involved in everything he could in motorsports, massively respected by all drivers and teams, and just an icon, especially of IndyCar. And so it just kind of hit me hard today, seeing that post. Obviously we know he'd been sick. I did read that so the last race would have been in St. Louis that he watched. Apparently he was very, very happy with the outcome of it, very impressed by Grosjean and Pato, and seeing Newgarden up there. So it was cool to kind of see him get that last one in there, that he thoroughly enjoyed the race, and I guess was proud of what IndyCar, the show they put on that night. So kind of crazy to think that we were there and he was there, and obviously in spirit. But yeah, definitely take it from us too soon. Just a true legend, and not someone that will ever be replaceable.
Yeah, I actually tweeted out from the Indy Star, where he actually used to work. They did an awesome article today, so check out my Twitter. It's on there at AFP3626, and you can kind of click the link on that. You'll get kind of his entire history, from working at the Indy Star to eventually having to get fired from the Indy Star, to then getting picked up by Speed Channel, to then being picked up by IndyCar. Just a true, like, old school newspaper guy. I mean, that's really kind of how it reads. The guy who probably smoked cigars and lived it up. And I would say that that's a dude that probably won life. So Robin Miller, condolences to the family, and No more slow laps for you, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, like we were talking about, we were live in person and in all sorts of stuff at the Bomarito 500. It was probably some of the most unreal access that I've ever had. The closest thing I can think of was when I maybe went to Detroit and had a paddock pass. This was better. To watch the qualifying literally from Victory Lane was a completely new experience for me, where I was literally taking pictures of the trophies, and I could tell you that the champagne that was getting sprayed at one point fell down in the wind because I watched it fall.
It survived. somehow it survived. Yes, three bottles on the asphalt and it survived. I'm not sure how that happened, but
yeah, exactly. Exactly. But yeah, just crazy and crazy close access. We were able to watch and hear like officials yelling at teams saying, "Get that car out of the garage. Don't you guys know we're impounded?" And that's how they officiate things in IndyCar. So none of the weirdness with Formula One. Just a quick recap of the race. Joseph Newgarden did take the win, but that doesn't necessarily tell the whole story. John or Deanna, any quick thoughts just on the access and seeing that from the inside out?
Yeah, I mean, I just had the absolute best day. It's just so awesome, I think, especially probably specifically to Gateway, but just the amount of access you have. Like, you can literally see the guts of the car. Like, they don't care. It's not anything like F1. And we're in the pit lane. We're probably within 5 feet of every single driver and all of the cars and everything. And just to see all of that up close, it was really awesome. And I think gave me an even greater appreciation, at least for that series. And it was so cool. The whole experience was so cool.
Yeah, I was like a kid in a candy store running up to all my favorite drivers. I met Grosjean. That was pretty cool. You know, I've talked a lot of smack about Grosjean over the years, but I mean, he did me a solid. I caught him right as he was going into the holler, and he took a few minutes to chat with me. And still had some kind of like a little bandage on his hand. I don't know if that was. I assume it's probably still blisters. You know, still just healing from the accident last year. But he did me a good solid there. I appreciate it. It was really cool to meet him. Met Hinchcliffe. Let's see, I'm blanking here on, we met Pato. We met,
Pato liked our hats, by the way.
Yeah. We met Rosenquist.
I was going to say, John, you met Felix Rosenquist.
Yeah. So I had interesting moments with both McLaren, drivers. one of them is a very comical human moment that we won't discuss. definitely one that, we'll talk about in private over drinks. Pretty cool moment there. And then, yeah, literally right before the race, Pato, we're standing on pit road, right there, behind Herta and Pato's garage right there. And he kind of walks past us. He sees my hat first and I've got my McLaren hat on, and then he sees Andy's and he compliments our hats. And, we chatted for a very brief second, on his way back to the car. And then I actually ran into him after the race, once everything was cleared out, and it was kind of a cool moment. He recognized me again and, called out my hat, and, I told him he was welcome, that obviously it was good mojo, for the race, as he did take a pretty big lead in the championship there. So, pretty amazing moment to get all the pictures. Met Tony Kanaan. Then I busted my ass, went up some steps. I'm pretty sure Tony Kanaan laughed at me, but that's all good. I would have laughed at me too. Actually, I did laugh. So I definitely left a little bit of blood.
Well, you're better than me not even recognizing he was there in Nashville. So
yeah, he walked right past us in Nashville, and I think I was the only one that noticed that he was literally like a foot and a half from us. So when I had the opportunity at Gateway, I was like, I'm taking it this time. I'm not going to miss the opportunity. I'm getting that damn picture. And then I proceeded to literally bust my ass right in front of him. So, quite comical, left a little blood in Gateway. So, you know, we're always connected there, but yeah, and it was just incredible. Like you said, Deanna, to see the access, to see there's no screens up, there's no anything. It's all fair game. You had, Pello and Pato literally side by side, you know, championship leaders and pretty much sharing garage space, to be able to walk through there, to see the drivers going in and out. It was just pretty incredible. So yeah, definitely shout out to Luke and Tim from the Formation Lab. We've known these guys for a long time. We've done a lot of collabs with them, and to welcome us up there to get us in, give us all that, the access that they have, was a pretty cool moment. So definitely one off the bucket list for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was just blown away by just the entire kind of operation of how everybody kind of knows their jobs and does their thing, but also wants to have fun and be open. And it's just a much more calmer atmosphere all the way around. And it doesn't mean that they, you know, once the green flag goes, that these guys aren't super competitive, because they are. And we got to see, you know, unfortunately, what happens when they go out of a race and how dejected and how ticked off a lot of these people are when that happens. But, you know, during it, they can be competitors, but I mean, afterward, you know, before and afterwards, they're kind of all kind of buddies with each other. So, I mean, that I thought actually was pretty cool. I don't know if F1 kind of works like that, because you can't get necessarily as close. I just thought that was kind of an interesting trend. Before we actually get into like the nitty gritty of the Bomarito 500, couple things I just wanted to talk about really quickly about trends we saw about what happens when our podcast shows up at your race.
This might be the last time we're ever invited to a race by IndyCar.
No. So we have to kind of talk it up really quickly. We caused lots of yellow, apparently, because we saw 15 cautions between the Nashville Grand Prix and this race. Six on an oval course is actually quite a lot. So that's one. Team Andretti, I'm pretty sure, specifically Colton Herta and Alex Rossi, never want to see us again. Colton Herta DNF'd right in front of us twice in both races we were at. But boy, is that guy ever talented. If he ever puts it all together, whoa, boy, he's going to dominate at some point. And you just know at some point that's going
to
happen.
And it sucks, too, because that was one of the names I didn't mention. I talked to Colton before the race, and we actually talked about Nashville. And so maybe we jinxed most of us jinxed it or something like that, because, we were talking about just how incredible, you know, that race was and how he's pushing and some of the most incredible overtakes. And then, you know, it's obviously brakes and tires just kind of ran out there at the end of Nashville, and we saw that end. So for him to be that looking that good and then to break a drive shaft literally right in front of us, I think we've got some pretty cool video of it just lighting it up. You could hear it breaking. In real time.
I was going to say, you could hear it more than anything. Yeah. And then when he spun that tire, I mean, you said it right to me right at the time, that that's a lot of rubber you laid down.
Yeah.
Well, that's because he kind of broke
the car. Yeah, you instantly knew before he even got out of the box that something weird happened there. We couldn't tell that only the left side was spinning. We could just see enormous amounts of smoke, and you heard something that sounded like something snapped. And then sure enough, you know, you see him putting around through turn one, not getting up to speed. That was pretty crazy.
Yeah. And then the final observation, don't have your pit box around where we were standing or where we get told to stand, because apparently we were emitting something in the air, or I don't know what happened. Palou gets wrecked. So there goes your championship leader out. And then you can literally see them like take the air out of his tires. And then Colton Herta has the drive shaft thing. So by the end of the night, our entire, like, what was not really a great vantage point was all cleared out because they were all done.
Yeah, Rossi was just to the right of us, obviously. Oh. They ended early, and oh, man. View changed drastically from the start of the race to the end of the race just based on guys packing up the shops and tearing down and getting to the haulers and getting ready to get the hell out of there. So
there were 9 retirements in this race, and they said, when I watched the broadcast back, that it was the most since Texas in 2017, and I would say the vast majority of those were right around where we were standing.
All right, well, if that doesn't tell you what you need to know, then
we'll get better. We just need more sample size. That's what it is.
Yeah, that's what I blame it on.
Yeah, exactly. Lack of sample size. So, in terms of the IndyCar Championship, it was a very significant race. Rinus VK took out, as we mentioned, Alex Palou and Scott Dixon in the same wreck. Kind of turns the whole IndyCar Championship on its head. Pato O'Ward now takes over the lead in the championship with 3 races to go, with a very cool, calm, and collected P2. Roman Grosjean actually did a really nice job on his oval debut, even though he only comes home in P14. Had a lot of really, really interesting overtakes. Was probably the only car at certain points making overtakes on track. We were all really excited about it.
Yeah, just a point. So Grosjean, from lap in between, in 8 laps, he passed Tony Kanaan, Kellett, Daly, Harvey, and McLaughlin in 8 laps of an oval, which I think that was definitely the best moment we were there because everybody was just cheering the crowd, and it was just such an exciting thing to see and see him kind of figure that out. He definitely did later have a couple rookie mistakes, I think, kind of worked their way in, but that stint was super impressive.
I think if you take away, I think the last one, which is, you know, something that, I mean, a rookie mistake, but, you know, it's an easy one to do. There was one time that he got out into the marbles and lost a lot of positions, just a lot of ground in general, I think, as of that. I thought there was an issue, you know, with the car. I was like, oh, God, is he braking or something, engine's going out or something like that. But no, sure enough, there was just so many damn marbles on the track. It was crazy to kind of see that. But, I mean, it was cool to see the crowd blowing up and cheering. It's amazing. And we saw it in Nashville, too. But just to see how many Grosjean people, you know, fans are rocking the purple. He was getting, you know, standing ovations for huge chunks of the grandstand. So, I mean, he was making moves that you don't see from oval veterans, typically speaking. So it was pretty damn impressive for guys that never done oval before. Pretty shocking to see. It's a shame that he had to send his kids back to Europe. I think they started school this week. So they're in New York right before the race. He sent them home, so they weren't able to see this. They did have to start school. But I'm sure they were watching on TV bright and early in the morning, probably were there, maybe on DVR the next morning. But pretty cool moment for him for sure.
Yeah, definitely. So any other thoughts on our first two ever truly show trips before we move on and say, hey, everybody, F1 is back?
I guess I'm just absolutely hooked. Just Indy as a whole. I've just kind of gone down the rabbit hole the past months or 2 months or so now, I think, and especially with us going to these races, and I'm now truly obsessed with it, I do believe, and I'm excited to see where this heads.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, pretty cool for the show to be able to get together a couple times in 1 month. It, you know, definitely didn't feel like a summer break for us. We were quite busy, to say the least. A lot of travel, a lot of weird stuff going on with traveling, but well worth it for sure. And then, you know, in a month-ish from now, we're doing it all over again in Austin, Texas for an F1 race. So,
yep, exactly. I mean, yeah, what a whirlwind of a weekend. I mean, it was short. It was quick. Lots of different emotions going on at different parts, especially when I kind of got lost coming down and I ended up in some farmer's backyard.
You made it.
Luckily, the iPhone has found my route and got me where I needed to go pretty much all weekend. So I apologize for any weird driving or anything that happened because everybody decided to pile into my car for some reason. So, but it was a fun weekend. I mean, it was just an awesome experience. Would totally do it again. I would totally go back down there to watch a race, even without all of the insider stuff, just to see that atmosphere. I thought was just awesome. So a great weekend on tap. So as we talked about, F1 is back this weekend, and we have some news, and we got some breaking news about actually the USGP. That looks to be a green light. The Austin mayor was on a show that I sometimes contribute to, Speed City Broadcast, with a full-on interview about 15 minutes long, talking about COVID and what the situation is in Austin specifically. Their expectation is that the race will get the official green light this week. If you are planning on going, you can probably expect some sort of vaccine verification or a production of a negative COVID test within like 72 hours to have your ticket actually work. It's also looking more likely just to have the single event at Circuit of the Americas, although the mayor would still like to have the second one. None of those decisions have necessarily been made regarding a second race yet, but it's looking more and more likely just with other parts of the calendar and where they have to come from and then where they have to go to, that it looks like we're probably just going to get our single event at COTA this year. But that's fine for me. There's also talk of possibly even the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, possibly even filling in for that second spot. So again, we'll keep our eyes on things. If things break, we will bring them to you as soon as we know them. Any reaction to the good news about Austin?
Yeah.
I should probably book a flight.
On Spirit Airlines, apparently.
No, never again. Absolutely never again.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. You know, there was certainly, it was somewhat in question the last couple of weeks, just based on what's going on around Austin. So good to hear that the plan is still to move forward. So looking forward to that. When it comes to Indy, obviously it'd be phenomenal to see Formula One back at Indy to hopefully kind of rewrite a little bit of history there and you know, do things on a positive side and Formula One and Indy having a better relationship moving forward. But it's going to be a tough ask, honestly, with a little over just a month or so to go. You know, there's obviously would have to a lot of things would have to align at Indy as far as just, you know, track, you know, preparations, you know, just in logistics in general. There's a lot to do, sponsorships, all kinds of fun stuff. So, you know, it'd be great to see. It'd be an easy one or easier one to get to, you know, for a second race. But yeah, I'm just happy that Coda is looking good because that puts on a phenomenal show.
Yeah, the calendar just in general, though, I think is about to get a bit questionable because Brazil, Mexico, and Turkey are all on UK's red list. Yeah. So I don't know where they're about to pull out all of these races. I have a feeling some more doubleheaders might be in our future. Probably not a Coda. But it's going to get interesting, I think, here in the next couple months.
Yeah, I mean, the latest rumor is that for the Australian Grand Prix replacement, it looks like that's going to go to Qatar, where I know they have hosted MotoGP for the last number of years. It's a fairly good circuit for motorcycle racing. I really can't comment much on how I think F1 cars are going to get around it because it's a lot of sweepy, long corners, which, you know, for MotoGP and lean angle are great. Yeah, but it's very flat, so there's no like undulation. There's really it's almost completely flat of a course. So, but that looks to be the front runner at least to get that spot. So that would only leave one race right now on the open list. But like we've said many times before, the calendar is going to be so fungible in the second half. So change will be the name of the game. We will bring you stuff as we know it.
Yeah, I mean, at least if one thing happens with the Qatar, it, you know, the cars will look phenomenal on track.
That's true.
I assume it'll be a night race. So, you know, it'll look beautiful. It may not produce the best racing. It may be Abu Dhabi 2.0. hopefully it'd be more like Bahrain than Abu Dhabi. But, yeah, I mean, I agree. It's got a really hell of a long couple of straights there. You know, but again, with the swooping curves at the end of those straights, it doesn't produce necessarily, you wouldn't think, the best opportunities to outbreak someone. But, you know, there's a lot of runoff area, so you've got plenty of room to send it. And, you know, you can make mistakes and not hurt too bad for them. So maybe that would encourage guys to kind of get their elbows out a little bit more. So we'll see.
Yeah. And speaking of races in the United States, the Miami Grand Prix has hired the former head of the Abu Dhabi and the Russian Grand Prix to lead. They just announced their leadership team. I think that came down earlier today. The trend is if you work for the Miami Dolphins, you probably now work for the Miami Grand Prix, at least in their public relations department and all of that. So a lot of that influence, obviously the Dolphins being a huge supporter and donator of the space for the track. So that I think all kind of makes sense. But that seems to be going on pretty much full steam ahead. So, I mean, expect some announcements on like more like general level tickets. I think the only tickets that are on sale right now are if you want to, you know, spend the buku bucks and, you know, try to get as close to the teams as you can.
Yeah. So if you want to see pictures from there, we may need to increase our show donation slightly. you know, I saw some pretty hefty price tags. Yeah. For those original ones. I know there's like some yacht companies that are, you know, talking about doing the whole blown out weekend and things like that. I don't really know what's going
to
happen there, but
not even
exactly.
Close
but
water.
You know, you could say you're on a yacht and then, you know, you limo into the track and,
we're not making this Monaco. It's not even close.
It could have been though.
Oh, they're gonna try.
If they'd done the original design over the harbor, over the bridge, it could have been Monaco-esque with all the yachts. But it's a shame. But anyways, yeah, Yeah. It's cool to see them moving forward. They are literally working on construction, throwing out some pavement. So, yeah, we'll see. But yeah, it should be it should be well ready to go by next year.
Yeah, you know the tickets are going to be pricey when you click the link and it says call this person who will discuss it with you. It's like reading market price on a menu at a restaurant. You know it's not going to be good.
Yeah, I typically when I see MP on there on a menu, I just don't even bother. I'm just like, all right, yeah, I'll find another place to go.
Or something else to
eat. Yeah, exactly.
So final F1 story before we actually hop into our Belgian Grand Prix preview. F1 has announced a new award. I didn't know we needed this, but apparently we did. A new award for the driver with the most overtakes. It is the Crypto.com Overtaking Award. I think right now the clubhouse leader is actually Sebastian Vettel. I think they added them all up.
Oh, wow.
So that's kind of interesting. Again, I didn't know we needed this, but now we have it. So, hey.
Yeah. I don't understand why this got so much coverage this week, but like, okay, great. I mean, overtaking's good. We like some overtaking. It's definitely going to go to somebody who doesn't qualify well, but does, race, like can make up places in a race. So somebody like Vettel, I think this season thus far kind of makes sense, especially with the couple podiums he's had. I don't know if, I guess maybe they took out Hungary. I don't know. who knows? So, yeah, I guess it's
yeah, the reason they got talked about so much today is because Crypto.com spent a boatload of money to sponsor the hell out of this thing. So, yeah, just another thing in the world of, you know, you can't go 2 minutes these days without hearing about crypto. So, yeah, they spend a massive amount of money, and I'm sure it was part of their contract for F1 to blast the living hell out of it in the process. So, yeah, I know, like, W Series has an overtaking award because I know Sabre Cook won it in 2019. So, you know, I guess it's in line with some other forms of racing. I don't know if it'll be like a weekly thing or a yearly thing. I'm not sure how that'll play out.
I think it's just supposed to be at the end of the year.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see. Maybe I should have made that bet with James instead of points.
Oh no. I read somewhere. I think they're going to track it like throughout the year, but there's some another graphic
coming
to go with it.
Powered by AWS.
Yes, of course.
I will. This might be powered by cryptos.
If crypto is tanking in the middle of the race, can it also like lose power?
Yeah, can we get like a little stock power? Chart of just the crypto?
Yeah.
What a freaking mess.
Well, that's F1 for you, if nothing else. Yep,
so, all about the money.
Anyway, yep. So we will take a quick break, and we will then get into our Belgian Grand Prix because we actually have an F1 race to talk about this weekend. So come on back.
Attention listeners from across the galaxy, all the way from Australia to Houston, do you have a pube problem? If so, our friends at Manscaped have cleared you for takeoff with their fourth generation and brand new Lawnmower 4.0. Kick your pubes to the next planet with the Performance Package 4.0. The orbits in your pants will feel like they're in zero gravity when you use the best tools for the job from the leaders in male grooming. Join the over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get your rocket ready for takeoff by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code OUTLAP. That's OUTLAP, one word, 20% off free shipping. Let's get back to it.
So welcome back. This is season 3, episode 35 of the OUTLAP F1 podcast. It's our Belgian Grand Prix race preview episode. So we are going to go ahead and drop our green flag and hop into the Belgian GP track facts, which are brought to us by the good folks at Pirelli Motorsport. Deanna, tell us about the Circuit des Spa-Francorchamps.
So this weekend, we will be in Belgium. There will be a total of 44 laps. The track length is 7.004 kilometers or 14.35 miles with a total of 19 turns. The tire selections for this weekend is the C2, C3, and C4. And for the track characteristics, there is a traction of a 4 out of 5, braking of a 3 out of 5, lateral load of a 5 out of 5, tire stress of a 5 out of 5, asphalt grip, an asphalt abrasion of a 4 out of 5, and downforce of a 2 out of 5. So our current qualifying lap record is Lewis Hamilton, set in 2020, and it was a 141.252. And the race lap record was set by Valtteri Bottas in 2018, and it was a 146.286. So at this circuit, for the most wins in third is tied between Jim Clark, Kimi Räikkönen, and Lewis Hamilton with 4 apiece. And second is Senna with 5 wins and Schumacher with 6. And on the constructor side, in third is Lotus with 8 wins, McLaren with 14, and Ferrari with 18 wins in Belgium.
So what is the Circuit de Spa-Francorchamps like? It's the among the Formula One drivers' most loved tracks, with its mix of long straights and challenging fast corners, allowing them to push their cars to the edge of their capabilities. That is, if it's dry. The size of the track and the nature of the Belgian weather means it can sometimes be raining on one part of the track and dry on another, meaning grip can vary from one corner to the next. Keep an eye on the thrilling Au Rouge, probably the most famous secret of corners in the world, as the drivers flick left, then right up the hill through Radion. As for that weather, so this is actually kind of a tough one to predict, but we do know it's going to be cloudy pretty much all weekend. There will be chances of rain every day. So qualifying looks to be cloudy with periods of light rain, high of 61 degrees, winds north-northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour, chance of rain 80%. So maybe we see some wet tires there. For race day, cloudy with occasional light rain, high of 61 degrees, winds north at 5 to 10 miles per hour, chance of rain on race day 70%. Again, we will have to see whether or not it's actually raining when the cars are on the track. I do think there will be rain around. It could bubble up, but it's going to be a very cool, heavy, foggy type weekend, kind of typical for Belgium this time of the year.
Don't tease it, Sandy.
So our just a quick recap of last year's race. The qualifying top three last year were Hamilton, Bottas, and Max Verstappen. The qualifying fastest lap was a 141.252. As for the race, the podium was Hamilton, Bottas, and Verstappen, with the race fastest lap being set at a 147.483 by Daniel Ricciardo. So we will just go ahead and we will get into our predictions. And it's been a while since we've done this. So I have to get out my super secret document because we all have to remember how to do that. First, as we are apt to do, we will hop into our qualifying predictions. As I said, last year was set by Lewis Hamilton with that 141.252. James, not being here, will get the first read. He has Lewis Hamilton taking the pole with a 152.911. I will go next just to not have any things said about if I'm price is rating anybody, because I don't want to do that. I will have Max Verstappen taking the pole. I actually think somehow, some way, we're going to get a dry qualifying session. So I'm going to go with a 143.031. John, what you got for qualifying fastest driver and lap time?
So I'm hoping for some wet weather. Again, like you said, this is going to be a crapshoot weekend, unfortunately, one way or the other. But I'm going to go with the Hamilton because he tends to do extremely well in wet weather. And I'm going to go with a 155.111 for my time.
Deanna, what's your thought on qualifying?
I'm going to go with a Hamilton pole, but I'm going to say it's in the dry, and I'm going to go with a 142.5.
All right. Very good. So we got 2 people for the wet, 2 people for the dry. So somebody's going to get that point. So at least that's probably.
I'm kind of splitting here. I'm going to say, because I think Hamilton, if it rains, I think he gets pole. Max might get it if it's dry. But then my time is a dry time. So I feel like I'm hedging. I'm hedging here. Bringing in the gauge.
Okay. Yeah.
All good.
Okay. Anyway.
It can't be, Deanna, it can't be any worse than our Hungary ones.
We're literally I said I wasn't going to think that hard about it.
Short and long eyes.
So for the race, and our race podium last year was Hamilton, Bottas, Verstappen. James is going with, oh boy, has he got some fun going on this weekend. He has Pierre Gasly taking the a shock win, followed by Charles Leclerc and Fernando Alonso. Well, that would be one heck of a weekend. He's obviously predicting wet, wild, and crazy. John, what do you have for a race podium?
I thought I was going wild on mine, but this is a whole other level of craziness. But again, hoping for some nasty weather, I'm going to go with a Hamilton P1, a Lando Norris P2,
woo,
and a Charles Leclerc in P3.
I would love to see it. Sadly, I don't have that much faith in Lando to get P2, even though I would love to see it. I would be jumping up and down. I'm going to go pretty boring, but I think this is where Max decides he's going to get back into this champion. It's weird to say this. Max has to get back in the championship fight, but he does. So I think he's going to do that. I think he will take the win. Lewis will be right on his heels, however, in P2. And I do think this is a Sergio Checo Perez. If it stays dry, I think Checo can do well and maybe get P3 out of here. Deanna, what's your thought?
Okay. So I'm going to say that it's going to rain. Lesores is going to be a disaster. But this time it's going to be Hamilton that loses out. So Max is going to win. Then it's going to be Checo. And then it's going to be Stroll.
Lance Stroll in the Aston Martin.
Yes, I think it's his time. After he wiped everybody out, he needs some like weird conditions to like save his reputation this season.
With a redemption drive.
Yes.
For the Canadian Max Stroll or Lance Stroll.
Max Stroll.
That'd be hilarious. Max Stroll. So fastest lap and the driver last year, like I said, was Daniel Ricciardo in the Renault with a 147.483. James is going with Fernando Alonso at a 156.911, so obviously he is thinking this is going to be wet. John, what you got for this?
I'm hoping for wet as well, so I'm going with a Hamilton for the fastest lap at a 2:00.211.
Okay. Well, that would be extreme wets, I would think. So John is thinking that it's going to be a deluge, which we saw at Le Mans last week. So anything is definitely possible. I'm going to go, I think it's going to be relatively dry by the end of it. Or if it's going to be wet, it's going to be like wet in the beginning and unchangeable. So I think we're actually going to get a fairly decent lap time out of here. I'm going to go with a 148.9. And I do think this is where Mercedes will play the team game and call Bottas in to get that fastest lap.
Kind of on the same train of thought as Andy.
Watch out, Andy. She's about to go with a 148.911.
No, I was going to go the other way. Yeah, we'll just do it. 148.899. Right. This has never worked for me once.
That's official.
So don't fret.
That's all right. It's all right. It's all good.
And...
Oh, she's being serious. Oh, damn.
I said I wasn't. Here we are.
It's like the IndyCar paddock. Once the green flag drops, here we go. It all comes out.
I'm just like trying to pick a random driver out of... we'll go with Perez. Not that random, but okay. Yeah.
Really shook it up there.
So since our Hungarian Grand Prix predictions were a disaster and I had the honor of picking the bonus pick, I kept that because I know I didn't score any points. So I went with P8, P9, and P15 just for fun. So James has in P8 Daniel Ricciardo, Seb Vettel in P9, and Nicholas Latifi in P15. I'm going to go Pierre Gasly P8. Fernando Alonso, P9. So I do have Gasly and Alonso together, just not for the win. And in P15, I think that's where you see like Kimi Raikkonen slot in. John, what you got for bonus picks?
So I've got Alonso P8, Vettel P9, P9, okay. And a Raikkonen P15.
And Deanna, you get the last shot for the bonus picks.
I'm going to go with an Ocon P8, a Leclerc P9, and then a Schumacher P15.
Okay.
And I think we all are kind of in agreement that the Ferraris might be a hot mess this weekend.
Well, I'm hoping so.
Full power track, it's not going to go well.
I need that to happen. I mean, this should be where it switches back, because they haven't done their upgrade yet to their engine. So
yeah.
This should be where that snaps back a little bit. At least, God, I'm hoping. Yeah. So our prop bet this week is going to be, because there is so much rain around the forecast and around the track, how many of the five sessions, so FP1, FP2, FP3, qualifying, and then the race, will have rain? As long as it is declared a wet session, that's what we're going to say. It doesn't necessarily need to have a lot of rain, just needs to be declared wet. So James is going, he's thinking there's going to be lots of rain, so he's going 4 out of the 5 sessions with rain. Deanna, what's your thought on this?
Right in the middle, 3 of 5.
3 of 5. All right, John, what's your thought?
I'm also going 3 out of 5.
Is that allowed?
I will go one lower, and I will go 2 out of 5.
Wow. Fine, Deanna. I'll go 2.99 out of 5.
So John and Deanna with 3. Okay. James with 4, and I've got 2. So we will see how the rain plays this weekend. That'll definitely be a story throughout the weekend for sure. And just as a final reminder before we hop on out of here for tonight, the session times, these are pretty much the standard European session times. Free practice 1 kicks off 5:30 Eastern, 4:30 a.m. in the Central Time Zone. Practice 2, 9 Eastern, 8 Central. Practice 3, 6 a.m. Eastern, 5 a.m. Central. Qualifying is set for 9 Eastern, 8 Central, along with the race on Sunday, 9 Eastern and 8 Central. That's pretty much the end of our preview. Any final thoughts as we head into our first race weekend our first F1 race weekend in a while? And then we get cinch it up, strap it down, because we got a triple header ahead of us.
Yeah, it's time for it to come back. I think the rumors got a little crazy this week. Everybody's going a little stir crazy. I think it's time. We need this now.
John, any thoughts?
Yeah, supposedly, I guess Bottas and Russell were supposed to be in the same press conference. So maybe unless we're getting some kind of last minute drama, it's been a little bit disappointing. It should be a fun, entertaining race. Hopefully we get a little bit of rain, just kind of shake things up a little bit, but yeah, it's going to be back. It's, like I said, although it hasn't been a break for us at all, it's definitely, a month is a long time. Without
Yeah, definitely.
F1,
so. I mean, to try to get back into like the mindset of where we were when we left off, and it was that the crazy Hungarian race, and everything is turned upside down. And oh yeah, we haven't even mentioned Esteban Ocon is the defending race winner, trying to make it 2 in a row this weekend. So you know, who knows what the heck is going to happen this weekend, especially if there's rain.
Oh dang it! I put Ocon an 8, but he's probably going to retire first because he won the last race. Darn. That was an unfortunate choice.
Oh, well.
Okay. I completely forgot about that race.
And,
it's that long ago. That's why this is what summer break can do to us. We will be back on Sunday night. We will recap everything that happens news wise, on track, off track, in the world of F1 on Sunday night. So please tune in when we get that episode up. For John and Deanna, and for James, who's unfortunately not here, but he should be with us on Sunday, it's Andy. As always, may all your laps be fast.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Outlap F1 Podcast. If you like what you heard, click that subscribe button and be sure to leave us a 5-star review.
If you want to connect with us outside of the show, check out our website at www.outlapf1.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at @OutlapF1Podcast or email us at chatnow@outlapf1.com. As always, thank you so much for your support, and we'll see you on the next one.